Dave and Dejanovic, your morning companions for talk, analysis, and key perspectives on Utah's biggest stories on KSL News Radio.
First-time delegate to the GOP convention called the show in the 9 o'clock hour. His name is Paul Stout, and he said, oh, I got a dose of crazy.
And it was crazy. I mean, the whole day. I mean, the words that kept coming to my mind were inefficiency, frustration, and acrimony the entire day.
He said it took him 2.5 hours just to get registered. And that is just incredibly wrong. You just cannot ask somebody to spend 8 a.m. until 11 p.m. all day at convention and think that they're going to have a positive experience. I can't do anything for that long. I can't eat Snickers bars for that long. It would be ruined.
There were the boos for Governor Spencer Cox. And the second most important person in the Republican Party, Lieutenant Governor Deidre Henderson, tweets out that she wasn't happy that the convention is no longer a family-friendly environment, mortified by the vulgarity and viciousness her young nieces were exposed to by another gubernatorial campaign's supporters. She called it embarrassing, sad, and clearly no longer for kids. I retweeted her tweet, Holly, and I said, R in Republican stands for R-rated. Holly Richardson, who was at the convention, give us the overview of what you saw going on there.
Yeah, I mean, I agree with the delegate that called in earlier. It was crazy. Look, people have said, well, you know, conventions are always a little bit crazy. And here's the thing, as I've been going to convention for 22 years, it's kind of carnival barker meets used car salesman meets, you know, tent revival. And sometimes it has been quite fun. And I have taken my kids, but the anger and the animosity, and I think just flat out contempt that has shown itself was really disturbing. So it not only did the lieutenant governor's family had a very unfortunate incident. There were fists thrown. There were police presence had to be called over. There were delegates walking around in a T-shirt that said, make tar and feathers legal again. There was another one that said, make America violent again. Right. I mean, there's just calls for civil war. There was a complete lack of decorum. And bless Rob Axon's heart, because I think he actually
the
chair of the Republican Party, because he did the best he could with a very, very not only rowdy, but incredibly disrespectful crowd.
So this was just candidate after candidate after candidate in so many different speeches.
Yep.
Was you can't maintain that kind of temperature for 18 hours. Was this just in bits and pieces and spurts?
Look, so it felt like, yes, there were a lot of speeches, and then there was some downtime, and then there were more speeches, but it felt like there was no time for a bathroom break because I might miss something. There was no time for a food break, right? And we didn't actually end until midnight. But one of the things that happened is the very last race was the U.S. Senate race, and so that didn't even get started until well into the late, late hours. And so even the candidates were like a little bit dragging, not all of them, right? But at that point, by the time you had the last vote for U.S. Senate candidates, we had lost over 1,000 delegates in the process. There was still a quorum there, but people had just said, I just can't
stay
any longer. They left. They went home. Yeah.
Were people, some of the delegates themselves frustrated?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. I heard lots of people. I sat towards the back around a lot of first-time delegates, heard the same thing. You know, this is not what I expected. This is really hard. I don't think I'm ever going to do this again. Heard from multiple delegates who were either not Caucasian or maybe not part of the angrier crowd, saying they felt threatened, saying that they felt like they had to move to a different area, that they were greeted with swear words that were quite violent, and told that they didn't belong in that party. And some of them were just like, I'm just here. I support teachers and I support public education. And they were getting that kind of stuff thrown at them.
So if you were to look at maybe a way to streamline this compared to what they had done in the years past, was there something clearly different with the way this one was run that made it so slow and clumsy?
I think part of it was even the location, and the chair addressed that at the beginning and said, you know, we had limited options by the time we got to the SCC, which is the State Central Committee, approving where we could go start looking for a venue, and the Salt Palace was the only place, but they had other multiple events there that day as well. And so by the time they were kind of squished back into a corner, even the room to where they had all of the displays is also where people came and signed in, right? And that's where you had lines of credentialing that could last more than 3 hours. Some of them were in line for more than 3 hours. But part of it was because they had such little space, actually, that it was really hard to, like, spread them out by name or by Senate district or, you know, congressional district, anything. They're really – it was just really cumbersome. And there have been other conventions that have gone more smoothly, but this one, for a variety of factors, probably was pretty clunky.
Holly Richardson, editor of Utah Policy, also writing for the Deseret News, covered this weekend's GOP convention. It sounds like a big family fight that went awry, where even cops had to be called in. We got reports of people flipping each other off. You said fists were thrown.
Fists were thrown. And I know that there was a state legislator who had to get in the middle of a fight. And it's just like, what is going on here?
And I think over time, Holly, the GOP, the delegates, the convention has become a place for, you know, the ultra right to pick the ultra right. And when they get to the primary, the Mitt Romneys and the Gary Herberts end up trouncing the delegate's choice. Yeah. Spencer Cox losing out convention this weekend to Phil Lyman, very conservative representative, has also been convicted of a federal crime in the past, although
he bragged about that at convention. He was very proud.
He leaned into it. Uh-huh. President Trump did pardon him for that, and it was an illegal ATV ride where he was staging a protest about a trail closure. Yep. So he leaned into that. Yep. But I look at this, Holly, and I wonder if the GOP has made their convention completely irrelevant, because once things get to the primary, the general Republican population just is like in your face. We don't care who you picked.
Yeah, I think everybody is asking themselves that question, and even people who are big supporters of the convention system, and the governor himself saying there are people who will take your behavior today and use it as a reason to get rid of the caucus convention system. But there are people who are big supporters of it saying they think that the delegates jumped the shark on Saturday, that there was so much anger and so much vitriol, right? So you are correct that Phil Lyman came out on top as the convention nominee with, I think, 67% of the vote. But there's a recent poll that I just saw again that was taken right before convention that has Spencer Cox at 81% and Phil Lyman at 6%. So when you look at primary voters, likely primary voters, and that's just a huge disconnect, right? So we'll see how that plays out. But I think if history follows itself, then we're going to see a big win for Spencer Cox.
Were there any other big losses or losses that stood out to you in the final 30 seconds that we have?
Yeah, I was surprised to see Derrick Brown not get onto the ballot. I was really surprised to see Blake Moore.
I want to just back up. AG candidate,
Derrick candidate Brown. Derrick Brown.
But did he collect signatures?
He collected signatures. He'll be on the ballot. Blake Moore is also in a primary, which was a surprise. I think Celeste Malloy making it to a primary was great, with Mike Lee's endorsement of her opponent right at the very
last
end.
Last minute. Can you stick around, Hall? Do you have time to stick around? Because we're going to take live phone calls. I wonder if you want to engage with our listeners here. I'd love it if you stuck around with us. Do you think the convention process, the GOP convention, should just be completely obliterated? Like, it's so antiquated. It's time to get rid of it. 801-575-TALK, 801-575-TALK. Let's take your live phone calls in 3 minutes.
Dave and Genevieve.
Well, here's what one of the delegates said about the GOP convention over the weekend. It sounded like a madhouse, a bit of chaos, circus, and also cannibalism, because they ate their own by not electing popular candidates to end up on the primary ballot.
Attacking people, the process was debated for like an hour. How are we going to vote? And people were coming up and making amendments on the fly and taking over the microphones in the back and saying, no, we want to have it.
One of our hosts at KSL at Night, Taylor Morgan, says the caucus convention process is an antiquated, insecure, and an unaccountable relic of last century.
So the question we're asking our listeners, and Holly Richardson in studio with us, she covered the convention. She is an editor. She's the editor at Utah Policy, also writes for the Deseret News, is should the GOP convention be canned? What's your take, Holly?
Well, personally, I do think it's probably a process that's run its course. We'll see. But I've seen such a drastic shift from the way it used to be, where it really was more representative of your neighborhood, to something where it's like your just multiple experiences of first-time delegates saying, I'm never coming back to this hot mess.
And so, that's kind of what Paul, our delegate we spoke to earlier today, Dave, said, that he'd have to be taken back to one of these kicking and screaming.
Yeah. And I will say this, I went to caucus, and Paul was the delegate that was elected in our little district. So I appreciate the service, right? But that really was the community. Like, we showed up and we voted for people, and, you know, maybe the person we voted for didn't win, but largely it was certainly, it's hard to argue that it wasn't representative of the people that showed up.
Yes, but you have to remember that only 9% of registered Republicans True. Showed up to the caucus, and that was to vote in the presidential preference poll. And the cycle before that, 4 years before, when we actually had mail-in balloting for the presidential primary, we had close to 50% turnout, which is quite high. So really big change there. But yes, I mean, I think you could say, well, okay, some people got elected from our neighborhood. Whether they were shouted down or not, we don't know, right? But by the time you get to convention, you've got 4,000 people. So that's a sliver of the 9% that showed up. And then you have these candidates who know that there's already other candidates on the ballot, right? So the governor's race will just be a two-person race. But when you look at the Senate race, it's a four-person race. And if you look at CD3, which is the open seat where John Curtis was, it's a five-person race in the primary now.
And he lost a convention too, right? But he collected enough signatures, so he will also be on the primary ballot. Let's get to our phone lines. Do you think it's time to just can the GOP convention? Dory and Layton, how do you feel about that?
I'm really disappointed with the I went to the caucus, and I also went on Saturday, and I kept asking the delegates. I knew quite a few of them. I said, so let me get this straight. Nobody votes for what the people really want. You vote for yourself, because they were saying, I'm going to vote this, I'm going to vote this person, this person, this person. I said, but I don't want that person. You're not going to vote for me, right? So, yes, I think it's antiquated. I think that they've left generations out of even wanting to vote, my sons included, just say no. We don't get a vote. They vote for whoever they want. And I'll tell you, when I went to caucus, it was a bunch of elderly people that were there that do not represent me. They just vote along with the people that they think they should vote along with. And there's got to be a different system. You know, of course, I'm old fashioned. I want somebody that money doesn't get them in, period. You know, so.
Dory, thanks for your perspective. I want to get with Holly on that, which she just said about shutting the younger generation out. What was your feeling at convention? My takeaway from the lieutenant governor's tweet about it no longer being a family-friendly environment is that the GOP is chasing away a younger generation of voters.
Yeah, I think that actually is true. Although Zach Wilson is a candidate for Senate, he's 29 years old. He made it all the way to the very end before he was eliminated, and he brought a lot of that energy. But the reality is the delegates skew older, and they skew heavily male. So the last, I don't know on this current delegate, but research on the last several delegate pool has shown like 80% men, 20% women, and they skew older. And that's a problem. And I think the anger and the shouting also drives people away, and they say, just like this caller just said, her sons are like, I'm not doing that.
And you said 1,000 people left, delegates left.
Yep.
And some of them were probably tired, but some of them were probably also exhausted from the antics.
Yeah, and some of them may very well have been supporting people who were already on the ballot by signature. We think that's the case, right? And they're just like, look, I can vote for my candidate in the primary.
Let's take some more phone calls. Cal, were you able to attend on Saturday?
Yes, I was. Yes, I'm a first-time delegate. I was. I was from a little tiny community. And, and my report is that when when Governor Cox entered the stage and they began the shouting down, I asked the couple who had stood up and turned their back to me and were booing loudly to sit down that I might listen. And I felt physically threatened. I felt like if it had not been for a couple of people next to me, it might have gotten physical because I would not boo him. And because and the language about me, the names that they called the governor were just atrocious. And these are people that I know, some of them, sort of. I know of their faith, and they certainly didn't act Christian. And the names that they called him was just unbelievable.
Thank you so much for your phone call, Cal, and for your story and sharing that with us. I wonder if this is what is going to lead to the demise of the GOP convention, the tradition of the convention, besides the fact that these GOP delegates cannot seem to get their candidates elected once they get to the prime.
Yeah, I mean, I think it is. I mean, I don't know, Cal, if you want to come back again to another convention, but I would suspect not, right? Who wants to go through that?
To feel
physically threatened and to be assaulted by really vile language is just not fun.
Right? And nowhere to go, I would say.
One thing about the convention process, and this is so different than it was, 10, 15 years ago, this is just one path to the primary ballot. And you can still gather signatures and force your way onto the ballot. You don't even need to show up for convention.
Yeah, that's correct. And I don't know really of any candidate that chose signature only. So they still did both paths. But it's not force yourself onto the ballot. It's get onto the ballot, right? Yeah. And one of the things that the signature path does is say you at least have a base of support. So there were candidates there who got single-digit numbers of votes, right? There was no way that they were going to be able to advance. And if they had tried to gather signatures, I think the lack of support would have shown itself that way as well. But that's one way to get on the ballot is to get signatures.
One final thought. The thing I like about convention is it doesn't require any money. You can just straight up run your guerrilla campaign if you want to. And it doesn't require signature gathering, which requires usually hiring somebody to gather that for you. So one of the arguments for convention is you can run it on a shoestring.
I think, yes, I understand that. And I also think if you look at the money spent for the people who were the top vote getters at convention, it was not insubstantial. There was a lot of money spent by convention-only candidates trying to make sure that they came out of convention.
Holly Richardson, thank you so much for joining us. Utah Policy is a great newsletter. What's the best way to get that?
UtahPolicy.com and sign up on the webpage.
All right. Thanks, Holly.
Yeah. Great job. Great insight. Thank you so much for keeping us updated on what's happening. We'll talk to the chair of the Republican Party, Robert Axon, in the 11 o'clock hour. We'll ask him, is this the last year of the GOP convention? I mean, I don't know if you can hire enough police officers to deal with all of the tension and all of the antics that went on. Next, President Biden finally leaning into the fact that he's old.
Age is an issue. I'm a grown man running against a 6-year-old.